time. And so, like, I would rock my baby to sleep and be like, "Rock my baby, everyone dies." Tell somebody so my baby knew the whole plot. Nobody else did.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Hi, my name is Beth Revis. I'm the author of Rebel Rising, and welcome to Star Wars Ties.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another awesome special edition episode of Star Wars Ties. I'm your host, Jameson Stout, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, both of them, Mr. Landon Long, our a.k.a. Lando Fett, and Mr. Rob Luther, a.k.a. Rob Vader.
Hey, hey!
Today we are super excited. We are going to be interviewing yet another awesome author. This is the rising star from North Carolina, of all places, which conveniently all of us have lived in, Miss Beth Revis. And she is the author of Rebel Rising, as well as a few contributions to some of the new Forces of Destiny publications that have come out. So we're really looking forward to talking to her. She's going to be joining us here in a few minutes, but first let's check in. So Landon, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Recovering from our last episode we did about the Star Wars video game memories.
Yeah, that was a great episode. Rob missed out.
That was fun. We had a good time.
I can be there, guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, we did have a good time. It'll take me a while to edit it, but I'm looking forward to it anyway. And Rob, how are you doing, bud?
Ah, doing great, man. Doing great. Just trying to stay dry, man. It's been raining like crazy this week. So, it's been a great opportunity to read some more. So that's always
good.
There you
go. Yeah, that's always good.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you done anything Star Wars lately? Other than do a podcast?
Let's see. No, just the podcast here lately.
I'm trying to think if... Oh, man. I'm trying to think if I got any... Well, I did get the new... Well, it's not new, but it's new to me. The Guardian of the Wills book. I guess it's like a teen fiction book, but I did finally pick that up. I've been wanting to do that for a while. I'm not going to read it yet, but I love those two characters, so I'm sure it'll be awesome. And I think that's it. It's been kind of a dry week for Star Wars stuff.
Okay, well, good deal. I'm anxious to read that book, too, so let me know how it is.
Yeah, sure will.
I actually had Afton gave me a book. This was actually for Christmas, but I forgot about it last time we talked, Landon.
Ooh.
It's a devotional, which I thought was really cool, but it's a Star Wars devotional. So I think it's The Only True Hope or something like that instead of The New Hope. So I'm looking forward to reading it. It kind of compares, the path of the Jedi to the path of, you know, following Christ. So I'm kind of excited about that.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Our pastor's wife actually recommended it to her because she knew how big of a Star Wars fan I was, and she had heard about it at a conference or something. And so my wife nabbed it and gave it to me for Christmas. So I'll let you guys know how it is.
Sounds like a good read.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Nice connection for me.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, guys, you want me to go ahead and add her to the call? See how this goes?
Let's go.
Hello?
Oh,
hey, Beth.
Hey.
Hi.
All right, Beth, we have a major question for you.
It's something we've been debating here.
Is that how to pronounce my name?
Yes.
That's it. Is it Revis or Revis?
It's Revis.
Ah, I was right.
Oh, good deal. Well, congratulations, Stout. So, first of all, my name's Rob. I'm the one who's actually been sending you some emails and back and forth, so it's nice to finally talk to you.
Yeah.
And my name is Jameson.
Go ahead. I'll shut up.
Yeah, you need to.
And
Landon.
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Landon. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Gotta love these, yeah. There's no cameras, so sometimes we step over each other, but... you know, we got a face for radio, so we try to stay away from them.
Yeah, this just means I didn't have to actually get dressed or anything for this. So
there you go.
Well,
we won't take much of your time, so Stout, if you want to officially take us in, we'll rock and roll, my friend.
All right, great. Well, once again, listeners, we are super excited to have Beth Revis on the show with us today. We're going to ask her a lot of questions, and we hope you guys enjoy all the information we're going to get to glean from this. So, Beth, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're all big dorks, so this is a great opportunity to kind of share that with the world.
Yep, same here.
So, Landon, I was going to let you ask the first question.
Okay. All right. So, first question. I know you're local to me. I live in Canton, North Carolina, just right outside of Asheville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, not that far from Brevard. So, I guess my first question is, what got you interested into writing and just, I guess, how you got started in the business?
Well, I always wanted to be a writer. Like, that was always the goal. I remember in first grade, my mom has a picture of me with my first novel, which was literally like three sentences on a coloring sheet. So it was always the goal. I didn't think I could make a career of it. So I went to college for English education because there's always a job for teachers. And I was right. I didn't make a career of it for like 10 years. It took me 10 years to write a novel that finally sold. And my first novel that sold was Across the Universe. It was my 11th novel that I had actually written. So it took me a long time to break into the industry. But now that I'm here, I'm fully like never going to leave it. Like, I hope I can continue selling books and continue making this my career. So yeah. So it's always been the goal. And I've just been writing through college, through the first 6 years of being a teacher, and eventually made it.
Wow.
Awesome.
That's a great story.
Well, you've got a couple of teachers here, so that's definitely something we can connect
with.
Oh,
yay. Yeah.
As I said, I'm Jameson, and I live actually over in Bryson City, North Carolina. So just a little bit further west.
This is such a relief here, because I've been doing a lot of podcasts with a bunch of people from California. I'm like, fuck, y'all sound normal.
We'll talk about Bojangles and Cheerwine here in a minute.
Yes. It's good stuff. So I was curious, obviously, you've loved writing, but as far as the book Rebel Rising, did you write it as a fan, meaning were you a Star Wars fan before you had the opportunity? And if so, what other facets of Star Wars are you a fan of, and what influences did that have as far as your writing experience?
Oh, yeah, I grew up as a fan of Star Wars. All the movies were out by the time I was born, and my mom taped all of the movies when they came out on television. So I still have, like, memories of where each scene is supposed to stop and which commercials are supposed to play in between the scenes. So I've definitely been a fan forever. I remember playing with PVC pipes that were supposed to be our lightsabers. We didn't even paint them red. They were just PVC pipes. And me and my brother would just like wallop each other with them. So definitely, that's awesome. Definitely always a fan. Leia was always my favorite. She's the reason why I have long hair. She was definitely the biggest draw for me at the time. My brother's name was Luke also, so that certainly helped. And so you guys don't understand how glad I was when Luke ended up being the brother and not the love interest.
I can only imagine. Like,
this is good. I'm from the South, but not that South. So it was a good thing. But yeah, I've always loved Star Wars. I was always a fan of it. When I got the offer for Rebel Rising, I just screamed at my agent for a long time, and I was like, tell them I'll do it for free. I'll do it for free. And she was like, shut up. I'll handle the negotiations.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Can you take us through that whole process? I mean, you know, what actually happened there? Because obviously you were a fan and you were pretty well established at this point. But how does the actual process go with, I guess, Disney and publication and everything like that for you?
Yeah, I had four novels out by that time and contracted for three more. And Lucasfilm Publishing contacted my agent, and they asked if I would have any interest in it, and then she called me. And at that time, it was about, I think it was April, and the movie obviously came out near Christmas time, so it was quite a bit of time there. And all that anybody knew, all that was public, was that there was going to be a Star Wars anthology film, and that Felicity Jones was attached to it. And that was as much as anybody knew at the time.
Wow.
And my agent said, you know, we have some interest. Would you like to do this? It's for the Felicity Jones character. I didn't even know her name at that point. And obviously I said yes immediately. I was like, whatever you have to do, make this happen. But I got the phone call in the beginning of 1 week, and by the next week I was on an airplane to San Francisco and went to ILM Studios, the offices, and I was able to read the script early to talk to the other writers who were involved in the process of the other books that were coming out that time. And like the novelization and Greg Rucka's book and things like that, we saw early images of K2SO so we could get an idea of what he looked like. I was given some images of like Jin's weapon so that I had an idea of how to describe them and her training. And yeah, that's how it ended up coming about. And then I had to keep my mouth shut for more than for about 3/4 of a year. And I came home and I was like, the one person I can talk to is my husband, who's also a Star Wars geek. And I was like, I'll come home and I'll tell him, and then I can keep the secret. I just have to tell one person. And the minute I get off the plane, I run up to my husband like, oh my God, you won't believe what happens. And he's like, don't tell me anything. I want to be surprised. We have a 1-year-old. He was 1-year-old at the time. And so like, I would rock my baby to sleep and be like, rock my baby. Everyone dies. Tell somebody. So my baby knew the whole plot. Nobody else did.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fantastic. That was going to be my next question. What was your family's reaction when they found out that you were going to be writing a Star Wars book?
Yeah, my husband's super into it. My mom gave me a bunch of Star Trek toys, and she was like, here you go, hon. And I'm like, okay, mom, thanks. they had no concept. My mom was even like, I didn't even know you liked that show so much. And I was like, mom, come on. So they weren't as concerned, but my cousins all thought I was finally cool, so.
There you go.
So take us, you know, through the timeline here. So were you done with the actual novel as Rogue One had come out? Was it afterwards? Because I know it was published later on, but, you know, what actually happened there?
Well, I mean, it's not any secret that there were rewrites involved. I mean, you can look at the trailer and see that some things were different.
Right.
But I actually had the whole film done. I mean, the whole book done by the time the movie came out. I got to see the movie a day early in New York. And there was only one line that was different that I found out later that Felicity Jones had kind of improvised that line. And so fortunately, the book wasn't in print yet. And so like immediately, as soon as I got out of the movie theater, I was typing a letter to my editor. I was like, we have to change this one scene in the book. Change what she calls it, because she calls something different. I was like, we have to change that. And that was the only change that we made based on the movie. So there's one line where Felicity Jones didn't say the word that I used. So.
Cool.
I was like, dang it, Felicity Jones, why didn't you consult me?
So when you're writing the character of Jin, were there some things that they said, hey, leave this kind of vague, we're going to explain it more in the movie? Or did they just kind of give you free rein and say, you know, here's kind of the parameters you need to be within, do what you want as long as you're within those parameters?
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly like I got to read the script, so I had a pretty good idea of what she was like, and I got early copies of some of the other novels that were coming out, like Catalyst. I was able to read it early, and I read Alexander Freed's novelization early, so I was able to include new things from that. The most changes actually happened because of Alexander's novel, which I'm not bitter about, even though I had to rewrite a huge chunk, because it made it a lot better. But I knew the character from those things, and then they basically were like, your story picks up when she's taken by Saw, and then it ends when she's in prison. And you, whatever you want to put in between those two dots, that's your story. And Star Wars has an immense respect for writers and the creative process, and they just kind of let me make it up as I went.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Was writing this Star Wars book different from writing one of your own books, and what were those differences?
The major difference was I had to have an outline, and that was something I had never done before in writing my own book. I always would just sit down and write my story and make it up as I go and then rewrite it like 15 times because I never got it right the first time. But for Star Wars, because there is the timeline crunch and I have to work with a lot of different people on it, I had to have an outline. And the outline was very, very detailed, and it was something that we went back and forth with Story Group and my editor on just to make sure that before I invested all the time in writing that the story was the way it needed to be. And so the outline process was different, but I've actually found it to be incredibly helpful, and now I'm using outlines for my own novels. And I guess my English teacher was right, and I should have listened to her from the start.
Well, you know, speaking of the teaching real quick, just to change gears for a second, so how long did you teach before you decided to write full-time?
I taught for 6 years. I wrote my first novel as a sophomore in college, and I wrote a novel a year, and I told myself I would not write until I could make money at it, and so I didn't make money for 10 years. But yeah, I taught for 6 years.
Oh, cool. Cool. Do you ever think about possibly going back?
Nope.
You know what? Things are working out fine for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice to just be able to sleep as late as I want and not wear pants.
Living the dream.
Yes.
And both of those things, like alarm clocks and pants, are required to be a teacher, and that's unacceptable.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
It's unfortunately the truth, I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing I really like about your book, and we're going to try our best to avoid some spoilers here, because we definitely want to stress to our listeners that you got to read this thing first before anything. But one thing I do want to say is I absolutely love your portrayal of Jin. Jin's one of my favorite characters anyway, but, you know, we really get into her mindset and kind of her journey all throughout the book, and how, you know, the things that happen with her parents, obviously, at the beginning of Rogue One, and then, you know, her whole journey leading up to, you know, her as an adult. You know, I just wanted to say, like, what was your thought process with the whole journey with Jin? Did you want to make sure that she started off kind of innocent and then kind of work her way through, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, different characters kind of have their own influences on her and how she's progressed as a character by the end of the book?
Well, I really approached it as almost like the reverse of a biography. Like, I knew where she ended up in life, and so I wanted to explain how she ended up in that way and how I worked backwards from what I knew of her. And really, really, I approached it as most children are generally positive, happy people.
Yeah.
And I basically had to break her soul to get her to the point of where she was. So I remember I was talking to my editor at Lucasfilm about this, and I was like, so basically all I have to do is crush her spirit and make her miserable. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, cool, I can do that.
So I'm curious. Obviously, Jin uses several different aliases and alternate names. I don't believe that spoils too many things in the book. So did you have any opportunity to come up with any of those names, or were those provided by Lucasfilm?
The names actually were one of the things that Alexander put in his novelization. I've edited it, and I've slept a long time since then. But I think I had originally had some, but then he used different names in his novelization, so I switched it around to what he had for consistency. So that's why there's some characters in the middle that Jin takes a name from, and those names came from Alexander. So, yeah. Alex gets the credits for the names.
Okay. Cool.
Yep.
Len, you got one, buddy?
Oh, I'm trying to think of one right now. Just it's been a little bit since I've read the book. So with the portrayal of Saul Guerrera in your book, I mean, you know, we find out about his sister and everything, and that's alluded to in Rebels. Just was that part of something that Lucas just said, you know, he had a sister, she died, do you fill in the gaps, or do they say here is specifically why he is like he is?
Well, I took that the sister Stila from the Clone Wars, the cartoon series, that you do see that arc with them and see the sister die, but you only see it in the moment, and then there's a little bit of the aftermath, maybe like a few days or a week after she dies. But I knew how he was going to end up. This was before Rebels portrayed Saul, that I kind of had insider knowledge that he was going to be there, but I knew what kind of person he would become. So I had to take the death that was in Clone Wars and turn it into something extraordinarily bitter for him, because he became the kind of man who didn't trust the Jedi anymore. He didn't trust anybody anymore. And he turned to violence in ways that Stila probably would not have accepted based on her character in the Clone Wars. So it really was a matter of just turning him into this bitter person who had to assign blame for the death because he didn't want to take that blame for himself.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's powerful. I'm so glad you mentioned Saul too, because he was one of my one of my most interesting characters from the book. I really like what you did, just kind of how Jin, especially early on, she's almost innocent in the fact that she feels like she's fighting. She wants to fight for a good reason, for the right reason.
Right.
And she's trying to tell Saul throughout the book, you know, hey, that's massacre. How can you call that the right thing to do? And I love, it's a powerful line he wrote where Saul says, it's war, you know, that's the price of war. And I just think that is such a great kind of representation of this almost lost soul in Saul, you know?
Yeah, I mean, everyone says notes that Jen is broken, but Saw was far more broken than she ever was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Dad, you want to go next?
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes I talk too much.
Yeah, well, I was going to let you talk too much. Okay, so most of my questions, I figured I'd let some be about the book and some be unrelated just to kind of get a rounder picture. Who is your favorite Star Wars character? And you said that was Leia. But why was she such an inspiration for you?
I think growing up, I liked Leia because she really didn't take any crap from anyone. And you see that really early on. Like, that people, I mean, I, for example, conflate Leia with Carrie Fisher. Like, the two are inextricably tied together. I can't see one without the other. And Carrie Fisher was that way as well. Like, she did not take any crap from anyone. And that was a really strong image, especially as a child of the 80s. We didn't always get those kind of characters. And we didn't always see somebody who kind of, she did what she wanted to do, and she was not afraid if she offended anybody. She was still going to do it. And that was a really powerful kind of mindset and character. So as a kid, I loved Leia for that. And then now that I'm an adult, seeing her as General Organa, where she aged, and she doesn't hide the fact that she aged and that she has these different experiences and mindsets. Like, as a kid, I wanted to be Princess Leia, but the person I became was General Organa. And I think in part that's thanks to the influence of that character.
Wow.
Do you think any of your influences on Leia affected how you portrayed Jyn in Rebel Rising?
I don't know. Like, I'm like, y'all can't see because this is radio, but I'm grinning hugely because, like, certainly Leia has had an effect on almost all the female characters that I write. I try to have a character who is going to do what she decides to do no matter what. But I hope maybe if Jyn has any kind of grace, maybe that would be an influence from Leia beyond just the decisions that she makes. It's sort of grace, and then in the end, her recognition of the value of hope. That is something that Leia never wavered on.
Mm, yeah, that's powerful. That's good.
Sometimes I sound smart.
Well, that's better than me. Well, you know, going back to the book, one thing I really liked is that, well, first of all the characters. I mean, Hatter and was it Akshaya? Am I saying that right?
Uh-huh.
I love those characters, by the way. They were such dynamic characters. By the way, that son of a gun, Admiral, is it Roswin?
Rockwin, yes.
Rockwin. Yes. Oh, I hated him. Oh, so much.
That's great. My husband's name is Corwin, and I named him after that.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
That's good.
He's going to love that you hated him. He was good.
Oh, he was great. Oh, I mean, some of these characters are so memorable.
They were.
And are they based on any, you know, real people? You just mentioned one right there. Are any of these characters inspirations from something else? Or?
I mean, I should mention that my husband's not quite that evil. But
that's good.
I took Akshaya's name from a girl that I met at a book festival. I was at the Boston Teen Book Festival while I was in the middle of editing and rewriting this book, and she came in the signing line, and I signed a different book for her, and I was like, that is a really cool name. It's an Indian name, and I was like, I'm going to steal this name. And she told me I could, so I just totally stole it. And then I did put in some other names from people that I knew, just switching around and giving, like, little homages to people I knew, but as in terms of, like, people and basing them off of people, I just made it all up.
Oh, wow. Well, I do love her character. I mean, you know, you see all these horrific things that are happening to Jyn, and I'll avoid spoilers here, but, you know, Akshaya is kind of the voice of reason for quite some time, and I just really fell in love with that character, so it's makes it all the more powerful.
I can't help but notice some similarities in terms of Jyn's growth as far as, and again, I don't want to spoil anything for the readers, but in terms of developing from her first trainings with Saw to, you know, getting the opportunity to go on missions and things like that, paralleling some of the other expanded universe books that have existed, particularly the one that pops my mind because we just read it and reviewed it recently, was The Paradise Snare with Han Solo's development. Did you have any particular envisionment as far as that process based on prior influences, or did you just kind of develop that as you went along?
I kind of developed that one as I went along. I I have to confess, I didn't have many of the Legends books read when I was actually the age that they were coming out. I have since remedied that. But the only ones that I read when I was a kid was the Young Jedi Academy.
Those are great books.
Yes. I keep waiting for some of that coming out in the new trilogies. But yeah, those were the ones that I read. I hadn't read as many because I was still pretty young at the time. But no, I just kind of, I tried to think logically how Jyn would develop and about how her training would happen and manifest for her. And I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, it was a very believable and easy to kind of follow. And you empathized very much with Jyn as far as wanting to go to the next level and wanting to be involved and have that higher passion and that higher dream.
Yeah.
And that poor girl, she gets the rug pulled out from under her, like, you know, so many times. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
Oh, she really has been through it in this book. I'm like, okay, she's good now. And then, not so much.
No.
I know. And, by the way, you know, speaking of that, I love how you go back and forth between, you know, her time at Wobani Prison, and then it kind of flashes back to the past again. And then if you notice, for our listeners out there, when you're reading this book, the crimes section for the prison, that section grows as the book continues.
As the book continues. Yeah, I noticed that. That was a great addition.
I'm so glad you noticed that.
Thank you.
I was the one that I came up with that, and I felt very proud of it. So few people noticed it. I'm like, no, look, I was clever here.
She's been busy.
It was. Yeah, that was really good.
Well, you know, one thing I did want to ask you is, did you come up with the idea or the story behind the star bird? I love that in the book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are certainly some legends already in existence within the Star Wars universe, and I think we see a little bit of it with Rebels and Sabine's paintings and graffiti, but I kind of expanded it, and I wanted to turn it into sort of a legend and a folktale that's universal among many of the different planets in the galaxy. But yeah, that one is me.
Oh, I love that. I love that story, too, and it's a cool kind of symbol of yeah, what Jyn represents. I love that.
Oh, good. Y'all make my head big.
Rob has a tendency to do that.
Yeah, well, I can't help it. I'm a sucker for Jyn. By the way, I think you'll appreciate this, too. I debate on bringing this up, but my wife, she's pregnant right now with we just found out a couple weeks ago. It's a little girl.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's crazy. But my wife, she originally had this name picked out, but then she wasn't quite sold on it. And we just happened to be watching Rogue One, so I said, here's my chance.
Yes.
So I said, honey, what do you think about the name Jyn? And she actually kind of went for it. So, but we were at the scene at the very beginning, early on in the movie, and Lyra was still alive in the movie. So I said, what about Lyra Jyn? And she just went for it. I couldn't believe it. So
That's awesome.
See, Rob, I told my wife that story, and she rolled her eyes and said, see, we named our daughter something completely different, and I like that. So I got shot down for a Star Wars name. You should be buying her a lot of extra chocolate for Valentine's Day.
Yes, definitely.
And she's pregnant. She needs the chocolate.
Exactly.
So, Beth, I saw in an issue of Star Wars Insider recently that you are going to be working, or have worked, on some new Forces of Destiny content.
Yeah, it actually just came out last week.
Was it comics?
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, did you exclusively work on Jyn because of your experience with Rebel Rising, or was this an opportunity to work on Sabine and Leia and some of the other characters as well?
Actually, the story I ended up working on is one of Padme and Ahsoka.
Awesome.
Okay. So I get to, I got to write a little story based on the Forces of Destiny cartoons that came out on the Disney YouTube channel. I got to write a little bit of the before and a little bit of the after, so I slipped in a few of my favorite characters like Barriss Offee and put in a lightsaber duel because they all need lightsaber duels. And it was an awesome experience. I hope I get to work with them again one day.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
That's great. I was going to ask you about that. You know, are there any Star Wars books in the works? Anything? If Disney was to call you right now, would you write another Star Wars book?
If Disney was to ask me to do anything, I would do anything for them. Like, my agent is in the background, like, screaming, like, wait for a contract. But, like, no, I would do anything in the Star Wars universe. Anything they want, I would do. I would draw the comics out.
Well, your agent doesn't need to worry. I doubt Disney's listening to us.
No, I would definitely do anything at all that they would want me to do. Working with them was fantastic, not just because of the world, but as a writer who's worked with different publishers, like, they are a fantastic company to work with, and I really, really valued my time there.
Well, that's a good segue, and I'm going to steal this question because I know Rob's got it on his list, but I'm going to be mean and do it anyway. So in light of the book that you've written and the experience that you've had, what does Star Wars mean for you now?
Star Wars has always meant an escape and a story that we can fall into, but it's also always been a reflection of our own story. But I think the thing that I ended up taking away from writing with Rogue One was the idea of hope. And hope was a running theme throughout the original trilogy, the prequels, the sequels. It's always been there. But I don't think I really resonated with how deep of a theme hope was until I wrote the novelization for Rogue One, because Rogue One, of all the movies, seems to be the one that's the most hopeless. It's the one where everyone dies. But as a theme, like, hope became the most important part of that story. And I think walking away from that experience really made me realize just how important hope was, and how even in the darkest movie, it's still the golden string of light running through the whole thing.
Ah, wow.
Yeah.
So I take it you're a Rogue One fan, like me?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Well, you're in glad company here.
Yes.
It was so wonderful.
It was,
yeah,
great.
My wife's not even a Star Wars fan, and she'll watch Rogue One. She loves that movie. So
it's so good.
It is.
It was awesome because I got to read the script first, but nothing would prepare me, even knowing it was coming, for that last final scene with Darth Vader. Like, wow, that's not something you could portray with words. That had to be on the film.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
Landon, well, that was one of my questions. Yeah, you got me, Sam.
I wanted to, Rob.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Sorry. I'm sorry, Rob. I didn't mean to steal it from you.
Oh, that's good.
Much.
Right.
All right, Landon, go ahead.
So, yeah, on the Forces of Destiny, that's my 4-year-old daughter's, like, favorite cartoon. We have the Rey. We have a Rey, a Leia, the Leia on Hoth, which is the one she specified she wanted. She said, Daddy, I want Leia in the snowsuit. So I said, okay, we'll get that for you. And she's got a Rey and a Sabine that she got for her Valentine's Day gift. Do you see any more of those stories in the future that you'll be working on?
I hope so. Even if I was contracted, which I'm not, but even if I was, I wouldn't be able to say anything. But I certainly hope so. I love the Forces of Destiny. I really wish that those had existed when I was a kid, because those stories are perfect for young girls, and they really help introduce a new audience into the universe. So here's hoping.
Yeah, she loves it. She said, Daddy, can I dress up like Leia with her snowsuit on for Halloween?
Yes, I said, every day.
I said, yeah. She said,
You can have a Princess Leia birthday party, sweetheart.
She said, can you fix my hair just like she had her hair fixed, too? I said, well, we'll get Mommy to do it, but yeah, we'll try. So she's wanting to be Leia, and I'm thinking I might be a stormtrooper this year for Halloween. So.
Oh, awesome. Perfect.
I told her, I said, if you're Leia, you have to wear handcuffs if I'm the stormtrooper. So she's like, Leia breaks out, and then she kicks your butt, and I'm like, yeah, she does.
Yeah, yep, pretty much. That's true.
My 4-year-old daughter has a Rey and a Jen, and she loves both of them, but she's done the same thing, Landon. She goes, can I have Rey hair today? Yeah, yeah, we can give you Rey hair today. No problem. And I'm just, you know, inside, I'm just like, yes.
Hey, at least she's not asking for Padme hair.
Right.
Oh, Lord. I'm pretty sure my wife would make me do it.
I think my wife would like it just for the challenge.
Well, you know, just out of curiosity, what did you think of the Last Jedi? Did you like it?
Yeah.
I actually really, really loved it. I thought the running theme of Let the Past Die was a great transition into the new stories.
Yeah, it's so funny you mentioned that. We talked about it not too long ago, and I'm actually in the process of editing the episode right now. But that's definitely something we talked about, and how, you know, it is a running theme that, you know, sometimes we got to let some of the old things go and embrace some of the new things. And I thought it was pretty powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. And I'm excited to see how it's going to end. I think that's going to wrap up anyone who still has reservations about it. Just wait for the third one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, too. Yeah. And I think part of the reason that so many fans dislike it is because it was the let the past die. And they're like, no, we don't want to.
Passing of the torch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with two more trilogies coming out, I mean, it's just – it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan.
Amen to that.
Yes.
Are you excited about the Solo movie coming out?
I am. I really am. I think it's going to be good. I'm most excited about the Lando appearances. It could be the Lando movie instead of the Solo movie, and I would be perfectly fine with that. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Donald Glover has nailed it.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. And the trailer that they just released about a week ago is just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They hit all the right notes with that, for sure.
Oh, yes, they did. So aside from, you know, any possible future Star Wars projects, which we certainly, as fans of Rebel Rising, hope that you get, do you have any other projects coming up that you'd like to talk to us about?
I actually was just able to announce yesterday, like literally yesterday, we announced that I have a new fantasy novel coming out in fall of this year. It's called Give the Dark My Love, and it is about necromancy and a girl who raises people from the dead, and there's a lot of death, and there's a lot of plague, and a lot of blood, and it's a love story.
Nice. Well, you had me at death, so there you go.
Yep, it's always the best.
That's fantastic. All right. So, just out of curiosity, and you've alluded to this several times, but could you talk us through your process for writing?
It kind of depends. Before, it used to be very, I would just have an idea, usually like a what if idea, and like what if something happened, or what if the world was like this, and I would have an idea of the ending. I can't start writing without knowing how the story ends, but I write chronologically. I can't write the ending until I actually get there. So usually that's how I used to write, but since writing Rebel Rising, I do outline my novels now because it helps me write a lot faster and cuts down on the rewriting time. So I still start in the same way. I make an outline. It's not a full, complete know what happens on every stage, but I get a general idea of what scenes are going to be included. And then I sit down and write. I typically don't start until like noon, and I'll go until like 4 or 5, or it depends on what's on Netflix. Maybe I won't write. I tend to write in big chunks, and then I don't write it off for several days, and then I'll write another big chunk. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome. Do you have any advice for, the writers out there that are trying to break into print?
Definitely. It's a cliche to say, but don't give up. I wrote 10 novels. None of them were none of them were accepted. They were all rejected. I have about 1,000 rejections to my name before I had one that was successful. Wow. So there's the cliche of don't give up. But also, whenever you have the chance to go out and do something new, or sit at home and write, do the new thing. Like, there's certainly a time when you need to just sit down and write if that's what you want to do. But having a wide variety of experiences and meeting new people and really living an adventurous life is where you're going to find the best stories.
Wow.
So if you're stuck, go have an adventure.
That's great advice. Wow. That's something that you don't hear much. I love that.
That's awesome.
So besides writing and Star Wars, what are some other hobbies and interests that you have outside of, the literature and Star Wars realm?
I really do love to travel. I do less of it now because my kid is now 2 years old. And it's to travel with him.
Oh, I understand.
Oh, yes, we know.
We take him with us to Alaska. Oh, my gosh. I don't know how. Some of these, I have friends who take their baby with them everywhere. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
So maybe I'll get to travel some more when he's a little older. But other than that, I lead a very boring life.
Well, we thank you so much for just coming on here, you know, and just talking with us. And thank you for being so flexible with the scheduling and everything. And this has just really been a lot of fun.
Yeah, this has been great.
Yay, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll tell you, if you do anything else Star Wars, would you mind coming back on and talking with us nerds for a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
Well, that sounds great.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you very much. And I'm a very, very big fan of yours. I just started Across the Universe like 3 hours ago, and I'm already like I think 25% from, I've got it on my Kindle app right now. I am hooked, so I cannot wait. Oh, it's fantastic. So I cannot wait to read the rest. I've actually got coffee in me. I'm planning on pulling an all-nighter, so.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
So, you know, huge fan of yours, and I hope we can talk again sometime in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, man, what a sweetheart. I love that woman.
She's nice.
She was so nice.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah, that was awesome. Rob, thanks for setting this up.
Yeah, thanks for setting this up.
I didn't do much, man. All I did was, actually, I think, Landon, it was your idea.
Well, I saw where News 13 had done an interview with her at the Barnes & Noble in Nashville. And it's like, new Star Wars author. And I'm like, whoa, wait. And I'm like, Rob, didn't you read this book? And you're like, oh, my gosh, I need to reach out to her and get her to do an interview. I'm like, go for it.
She actually apparently did a book signing in City Lights over in Silva at one point.
Oh, nice.
I'd love to meet her.
I would, too. I didn't know she'd been that close to home. But I mentioned it to one of my college friends. And they were just like, yeah, she was at City Lights like 3 years ago. And I actually went and met her and got her to sign a book. And I'm like, really?
That's cool.
What book? I think it might have actually been Across the Universe. I don't remember now, but
dude,
I can ask her.
That book's good. I'm
I was just like,
really.
Well, I mean, it's just awesome that we've got an author in our backyard that writes for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fantastic. I mean, not your backyard, Rob. You moved over the state line, but the rest of us.
Well, she's still close.
Yeah, I think she does a lot of signings at Malaprops in Asheville, too, and that's just right off Merriman Avenue.
Mm. Well, there you go.
Heck, I'd make the drive. I'd love to go meet her.
I was going to say, next time she's over, we're
next
all
time she's
up
over,
see
just
her.
Let us know, and we'll go see her. Hey, we're those three dorks that talk to you on the podcast, you know?
And she was so easy to talk to, too. You know, she just seemed like a fan, too. And, oh, my goodness, man, guys. You've got to read her Across the Universe series. Like, I'm about 100 pages in right now, and I am so hooked on it. It is really good. And I think that was her first kind of breakout success. But, dude, it's good stuff, man. And I love – there was – oh, man, there were so many spoilers I wanted to give and talk about. But I was like, oh, I can't do that.
No, we can't. We could have asked more detailed questions, but it's still a relatively recent book.
Yeah.
And we know a lot of our listeners probably haven't read it. I actually passed it along to Jeremy, the guy we did the gaming episode with a couple of days ago. And I was like, you got to read this. It's a great book. He's got my copy. So before we do the review of the book, I'm going to have to get my copy back. I'm in the middle of Tarkin right now.
Oh, how was that? I'm fixing to start that one.
In my opinion, it actually had a faster start than Catalyst, but it's a very similar book to Catalyst.
Oh, okay. Was it James Luceno?
It's James Luceno.
Oh, okay.
Or Luceno. And I've actually, I asked, you know, about 6 months ago to be James Luceno's friend on Facebook, and he finally accepted my friend request.
Oh.
So I'm hoping that, you know, I'll get up the nerves to shoot him a message sometime soon and see if he might be willing to do an interview with us. Because he contributed a lot to the New Jedi Order books and a few of the other post-Return of the Jedi novels in the Legends or Old Expanded Universe. And then, of course, he's done quite a few books here in the new canon with Catalyst and Tarkin and and so on. So there's a lot of potential to get another kind of like both eras of Star Wars out of him.
Nice, nice. Well, guys, hey, really enjoyed it, and I guess I'll talk to y'all soon. And try to get that Last Jedi done either tomorrow night or by Monday night. That's my goal.
Okay, so. No worries. And I think our next episode will be a review of Rebel Rising, if y'all are up for it.
Sounds great. Yeah,
sounds good.
So I'll get in contact with you here probably sometime next week or the following, and we'll see if we can start locking down a date.
Awesome.
But cool, I'm not in any particular hurry since I've got two episodes to edit, and we've got about four episodes to release, so we've got a good amount of material once we get the ball rolling.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't want to get behind either, because I like having I like having that headway so that I can just start going, you know, just steamroll them out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again, and Rob, thanks again for kind of setting this up. And Landon, it's you guys, it's always great doing this with you.
You too, guys.
Yeah, you
really
too, guys.
Appreciate it. Have a good night, guys. Right.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
See you guys.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for an awesome episode of Star Wars Ties. Here's hoping you enjoy your awesome glass of cinnamon apple crisp. Who knows?
no idea how I'm talking to you right now. Like, my Skype just like totally went away.
Okay, well, I've got you. And I'm going to add Rob.
Okay. Man, I do
just
not...
Just talking to him. I don't like... This new version of Skype is so weird.
It's horrible. I don't like it.
It's awkward and strange, and I've had audio cut in and out.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Oh, no, what? Landon, we lost him now.
What?
That's bizarre.
Well, because it says I still have him in the call.
Really? Because it hung up on my end with him. I can see you.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. All right, I'm going to add him. I'm adding him. Now I've got to watch it cut you out.
That'd be crazy.
Or me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey.
We're all here.
I hate this new Skype. It can all hate it.
Oh gosh, you gotta love tech issues. So it's the best.
Oh, shoot, now I can't find my audio recorder.
Oh, that's okay. I got two of mine running.
Okay.
So
good.
Look at you being Mr. Boy Scout.
All right.
Well,
good. I've got one running too.
We're good.
I don't trust any of them.
Yeah, I know. I know how you feel. Yeah, I got one that skips, and the other one just, for some reason, only records the other people, never records me, which might be a good thing for...
Nobody wants to listen to you anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm halfway done editing the Last Jedi episode. I'm like, oh, shut up.
No, you did a pretty good job on the Last Jedi episode, if I remember correctly.
Oh, thanks, Ozer. Well,
oh, Landon, you playing guitar back there?
No, yes.
Oh. Hey, no, that's fine. I like it. It sounded good.
You.
I mean, it's not Rob playing, so anything's good.
No, it's just... I was going to say, well, it's no Rob Loaf, but, you know.
Rob Loaf.
That's true. Rob Loaf is pretty good.
Hey, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
So, right before, of course, I texted you, Rob, and my daughters were having a meltdown. It's like 8:30, or maybe 8:15, and both kids are screaming. And I look up, because I'm working on a different computer on something completely different, and, Afton's holding Jalen, and she's just screaming her head off. And she's like, "Can you please try to put her to bed?" I'm like, "Sure, I'll try to put her to bed." So I'm sitting on the couch trying to console her, and Afton walks in to talk to Emmeline, and Emmeline had literally a pile of books the size of Mount Everest on her bed. So Afton was like, "No, you cannot go to bed. You cannot do anything else until you put these books back on the bookshelf." You would have thought she had just asked Emmeline to climb Mount Everest, or... Perhaps to build an exact replica of like the Eiffel Tower with those books in 30 seconds or less, with the amount of screaming fine. And no, I can't do that. That's too hard.
I'm gonna clean this up myself.
So.
Oh, I know what you mean, man. Grayson, every time he's got this little shopping cart, he puts all his toys in there in the living room. Well, every time he dumps it, we're trying to teach him now. Hey, if you dump it, you got to pick up every single one of them, put them back in. And whew, it's been a process.
Oh, kids, I swear, kids.
He'll do one or two, then he'll start wandering off and be like, "Chocolate milk? Want chocolate milk?" I'm like, "Nope, can't have that till you're done cleaning up."
No, chocolate milk, buddy.
It's too hard.
He's like, "Oh no." Well, good deal, guys.
All right, before we talk too much.
Uh-huh.
Unlike last time, I'm going to go ahead and bring us in.
Oh, that sounds great. Oh.
And then we can just kind of talk, and then we've got, you know, 3 or 4 minutes before Beth is supposed to wait.
Oh, that's Grayson.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. Not the only one with a meltdown. Yay! Love you, buddy.
Speaking of meltdowns.
Yeah. I was like, "Yay, I'm not alone."
Oh, yeah. No, you're good. What were you saying, Stan? I'm sorry.
I said I was going to go ahead and do the intro, so we've got that, and then we can just, you know, we can gab and talk until Beth joins.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
I
like it.
I mean, we only got a few minutes, so. All right.
So is it Beth Rebus or Rebus? I've been saying Rebus all this time. Oh, geez.
That can be the first question. First question, how do you pronounce your name?
And aside from that question, which we'll make Rob ask, Landon, you get first dibs on questions, since you didn't get a lot of questions from Mr. Foster. So,
Yes. Well, who wants to introduce her? Well, Stout, you're the leader. Why don't you introduce her?
Crap, I don't want to pronounce her name wrong.
I don't either. It's your show.
Yeah, but you invited her.
No, we did.
No, you did.
All right, I'll add her to the call.
We'll ask her and then we'll introduce her.
Okay. We already got some good real stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's add. Yoda's on deck, yeah.
A lightsaber, what is,
Now, would he say it in reverse?
I guess
he would do that. He would say it just like that. Let's see. Well, call failed. Maybe she didn't want my friend request, eh?
Yeah, she said he's a jerk. I can tell by looking at him.
Yeah, that picture is so cheesy.
I know it. Look at him all. Good looking.
Is that your Flyers hat? I'm just curious. Is that your Flyers hat?
I don't know. I don't even know what picture it's showing.
We talked about this on a previous episode. One I've released, I think, actually. And I think we made fun of you, and I put it in the blooper reel.
oh, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. All right, try.
Let's see. Okay.
You got a big head. Little big head and little arms.
Okay. Let's try it again. I don't know if she's... It's not showing like she's on. Add people to this call.
Do you think she forgot?
Well, she emailed me earlier today.
Okay,
let's
good.
See.
Well, maybe she's having problems with her kids, too.
Oh, it's understandable.
Hang on, Rob.
Go ahead.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a little selfish for our podcast. And I was wondering if you might be able to do a little promo for us so that we can kind of use it as an introduction for our show every once in a while and give us a little bit of credibility.
Oh, sure.
something along the lines of, hi, my name is Beth Revis, the author of Rebel Rising, and you are listening to Star Wars Ties, or however you wish to approach it.
Okay, right now?
Yeah, whenever. I can always edit it and adjust it.
Okay. Hi, my name is Beth Revis. I'm the author of Rebel Rising, and welcome to Star Wars Ties.
All right. Now we're legit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're official.
Too legit.
Excellent.
myself. I read it at the beginning of January, and I've already, I didn't want to ask a lot of detailed questions about it because I'm sitting there going, now, was that that book? Or was it? Yeah.
Well, how do you want to go about releasing this one, man? Do you want to just have this kind of be its own independent interview?
Yeah.
Cool.
What I'll do is, whenever you have Last Jedi done, just release it.
Okay.
And that sets the timetable for me, because 2 weeks after that, I'll release the Alan Dean Foster interview.
Cool. Do you want me to work on this one?
No.
While you work on the
video
game one?
I can do this one. I mean, I've started the video game one, or I'm going to start it tomorrow. And of course, I've given myself basically a month before I have to have it done.
Okay. Sure.
So
sure.
It's no big deal. Of course, that's a long haul for all of us. Knoxville's a heck of a lot closer.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, yeah, come on over to my crib. We could chill, watch Star Wars movies, and then go fanboy. It'd be awesome.
I mean, you know, it'd be great. We just need one van. You know, I've got a minivan.
Hey, there you go.
We could be super dorks, you know. Car seats in the back and everything.
Oh, man.
If you dig deep enough, you might get some, you know, some Cheerios out of the seat.
We got some Cheerios and some cookie crumbs.
We got some snacks. Yeah, we're good.
I found a goldfish.
Right, and I, you know what? I want to meet Simon Williamson. You know why? Because he played Max Rebo. Well, he's only making appearances in the Netherlands and England.
Well, you should also say you should get him to sign your ornament.
I still have it, too. He's the only one I have left. I don't know what happened to Snice Noodles. Very sad.
Paul Brewer, who was the Rancor keeper in Return of the Jedi. You know the dude that didn't have a shirt on and he cried when the Rancor got killed?
Yeah.
One of Jabba's dancers is going to be there.
All right.
And Kim Rose, who was Admiral Ackbar, is going to be there.
Oh! Okay,
I don't know. I'd go.
I'm sorry.
Sounds like a trap.
Well, Star Wars. Angus McInnes, who was Gold Leader, and one of Star Wars guys, life-size Rancor. Named Roxy, it's like a recreation of the Rancor.
I wonder if the Rancor keeper's gonna be working.
That would be cool.
That would be awesome.
Oh, dude, Bib Fortuna, the dude that was like Jabba's housekeeper.
Yeah, the Twi'lek there.
With the red eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Jabba the Wampa.
I like how you ever watched the bad lip reading one. He's like, let's dance.
Darth Vader in that black and evil mask. Did he scare you as much as he scared me? Star Wars. Those here in Star Wars. My seventh winner up here. Star Wars.
Hey, oh.